Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's head out to the WadeFord.com hotline. Let's talk to Atlanta Falcons digital managing editor Scott Baer, joining us here this evening. He's on Twitter at Scott Baer NFL. Scott, as always, buddy, appreciate a few minutes on the show with me tonight.
Yeah, man, thank you so much for having me. It's been an interesting first four games to the season, 2-2, some definite bright spots, some definite pain points as the Falcons move forward to play the Texans on Sunday.
So I don't, you know, to be honest with you, I don't want to get into changing quarterbacks and firing coaches and all this stuff, because I know that's the narrative going around from fans and stuff like that. But here's a couple of my frustrations. We have 119 pass attempts to, I believe it's 113 rushing attempts. And, again, I know the way things dictate whether you're behind or this, that, and the other, but that doesn't feel like a recipe for success for this team when I don't care if it is only six more passing attempts. That just doesn't feel like a formula for success for what this team wants to do.
It is absolutely not, and I think that we've seen over the course of the last two games exactly why that's not working. Because right now, the Lions and Jaguars said, we're going to sell out, stop the run, and see if you can beat us. And the answer has been no twice to this point. I think in terms of a game going according to plan, you look at that Carolina game, right? And they were able to run a bunch and run consistently and then get up by two scores in the fourth quarter and let Grady Jarrett and David Onyemata and Bud and Calais get after the quarterback, right? And that's when the Falcons can be at their best. But they've been operating with these negative game scripts that aren't playing to their strengths. Now, I'm also with you, Chuck, that I think we can't just say, oh, they were behind, so they have to pass. Because go back to the Cleveland Browns game last year with that famous Arthur Smith, we're going to run the blank out of the football. Mm-hmm. And then they ran the ball 10 times, down two scores, and ended up winning that game. I agree with you that pass-to-run ratio needs to be more skewed, and balance is good, but play to your strengths, especially coming off of a two-game losing streak heading into a game with the Texans that look a lot tougher than they did on paper a couple months back.
So this is one of my other frustrations. And again, when you're asking, which look, by and large, you know, I know he had four games last year, and I know, but again, he's basically, I don't want to say a rookie, but he's a very young quarterback. We're 22nd in the NFL in average starting field position for drives on offense. I think it's the 27.1 yard line. That's another thing that you're asking a young quarterback, an inexperienced quarterback, to drive almost 75 yards for touchdowns on a regular basis. That's also not a formula for success.
Yeah, but part of that is the offensive component, right? If you're going three and out and you're gaining 5 net yards in the first quarter like they did against Jacksonville, you don't have the opportunity to flip the field like Jacksonville does. Because Bradley Pinion is a good punter. He has a big leg. I think special teams coverage is good. And defensively, they're playing, it's not bend but don't break, but they're willing to give up yards, and then they stand tall at very important moments. But I do agree with you that field position plays into this, But that's also like the need for first downs, the need for staying on schedule. Those types of things all go into this issue, because right now, with the way that the Falcons are starting slow, if you start quick, if you look at the 49ers or the Eagles, and they can jump on top of people, they are applying pressure. Over the last two games, the Falcons are absorbing pressure and falling into these boxes that they're having to try to punch their way out of. And that's not a recipe for long-term success, especially against top-tier teams. Let's be honest, Jacksonville, Detroit, very good. I think we're going to see them in late January. Can the Falcons join them? That's going to depend on their ability to get right, even if it's not scoring touchdowns every time, but it's generating first downs, getting the ball downfield, and to your point, playing that special teams game where Desmond Ridder doesn't have to go 75 yards every time. Because, again, if you go back to that Panthers example of a good game, Jesse Bates gave them good field position time and time again, and that's when they score their touchdowns.
AtlantaFalcons.com digital managing editor Scott Baer joining us here on the WaitFor.com hotline. So, and again, I'm going to tie this stat into it. You know, the other thing, too, is that the Falcons have given up the second most sack yardage in the league at 119 yards. That's a lot of yards to have given up in the NFL through four games. And, again, I don't know if it's a matter of, again, we can talk about whether Desmond Ridder needs to just one read, throw it. Does he need to use his legs a little bit more? Does he need, again, I don't know. I don't know what all of the answers are, Scott, but I know when I look at some of these numbers, you can't give up the second most sack yards in the league and think you're going to have good field. So that's the other part is, too, you're not going to have good field position when you give up that many yards, just wasted yards. And it just kind of all compounds to just the idea of this offense getting ahead of the chains and just trying to at least, you know, stay on course, even if you're not picking up third downs. You can't go from second and nine to third and 19 and then take another sack and you know, on fourth and 21 after punt.
Here's the reason why I'm enjoying this conversation right now, because it's so easy to scream, start Taylor Heinicke for as loud and for as long as you possibly can. But I the stats that you're bringing up here, I think, are nuanced, because if you look at the structure of this offense, right, with the skill players that they have brought in and drafted, and the amount of investment they've put into their offensive line with one major goal in mind in 2023, make life easy on your young, essentially a rookie quarterback, right? And these stats that you're bringing up are making it harder on your young quarterback, right? Mm-hmm. And making him have to press the ball downfield, making him have to go, to your point, third and nine or third and 11, right? And those types of issues, we can add penalties in there as well. We've seen some penalties from offensive linemen like Chris Lindstrom that are very uncharacteristic. That, again, sets them back. I brought up negative game scripts, right? Like not being able to start quickly. It's making life just not exponentially harder, but just a little bit harder on a young quarterback that has been a notoriously slow starter in terms of within games. Even when he was in college, he's known as a gamer. He's got a bunch of fourth quarter comebacks. He's played well at home. We know all those stats, right? But to make life easier on this quarterback, if that's the ultimate goal of what they've done, they haven't done a good enough job of it, right? And they are 2-2. And I think that if you were to go back to April or May and take a look at the schedule and say 2-2 against this competition, like, you would absolutely take that. But now that we're in the thick of it, maybe you would have wanted more, because the talent on this roster, especially offensively, suggests a dynamic quality that we just haven't seen yet.
Scott, here's another number that has me a little bit concerned. The first 2 weeks in their wins, they gave up 53.9% completion percentage. And I know that they went up against a guy making his first ever start in the NFL and a guy making his third start in the NFL. But the last 2 weeks, they've given up 71.4% completion percentage. I don't care if you're a rookie. I don't care if you're a 40-year veteran at quarterback. If you allow NFL quarterbacks to complete almost three out of four passes in a game, that's also not a recipe for success. Again, besides turnovers, I mean, you know, is there concerns about the pass defense?
Yeah, I would say that we've seen this pass rush get activated at times, and it has looked really good. I think maybe it hasn't been as consistent enough, but when it comes down to it, is this like, what's the identity of this defense going to be, and what are they willing to give you to not give up big time explosives? Now, I know Calvin Ridley just caught a 30-yard touchdown pass, and Sam Laporta caught one for 45 yards on what I believe were coverage miscommunication, get things down, right? Mm-hmm. But the thing that I agree that stat is troubling, but what I like about this defense is that when it I wish I had their third down conversion rate in front of me, but I don't. But when it matters most, they have shown up time and time again. Two major fourth downs, one against Jacksonville, one against Green Bay. They show up and make those stops. And I think that veteran presence to perform well under pressure is important. To your point, could they be a little stingier? Yeah, absolutely. I think that we've seen times where their interior run defense, for all the talent that's in the middle with Grady and David Onyemata and Caden Ellis, that they could be a little bit tougher there. That completion percentage, to be honest with you, I didn't know that. That's a bit troubling. But I think that as we look at this defense as a whole, I'm not as concerned about that number as I am about some of the other numbers that you've brought up to this point, because of their clutch performance that I think has held up and ultimately kept points off the board. They held the Jacksonville Jaguars, from a defensive perspective, to 16 points. That's pretty good, right? They held Detroit to 20, right? And they got a takeaway. That's good. But so I'm not as concerned about this one as I am about the other ones that you brought up.
So last question for you, Scott. I said this about the game against Bryce Young to open up the season, and I'll say it again. You have to make young quarterbacks uncomfortable. And I think that this is a game where the defense really has to dictate things. I think you have to get creative and get pressure. And if you can't always do it with four, again, I'm not saying blitz on every down or anything like that, but you have to make young quarterbacks uncomfortable. That's the thing that always gets young quarterbacks at the end of the day. And I think this game is really, again, if they allow a C.J. Stroud to complete 75% of his passes, I mean, they allowed Trevor to complete 77%. If they allow that, this is a kid that's going to pick you apart. And I just think that this defensive front especially has to really dictate things to the Texans' offense.
Yeah, I think that that's true, and I think that it's going to be harder against Stroud than it was against Young. What's the best time to see a rookie quarterback?
Yeah.
In his first ever
week
NFL game,
yep,
right?
Yep.
That's when you want to see him. He's going to be tougher in week 15, I think, when they play Carolina again. C.J. Stroud, this isn't my thought. It was something that I read, but somebody likened him to a young ace pitcher, a guy that in the seventh inning with runners on second and third, he's going to paint the corner, right? This is a paint the corner type of quarterback. So if you have to deal with that, you have to make him uncomfortable. The one thing that I would like to emphasize as we talk about some of these troubling trends over the last 2 weeks and what needs to happen against Houston, unlike the last couple years, we're not talking about a talent issue, right?
Right.
We're not saying the Falcons aren't talented enough at corner to be able to lessen, or in the pass rush, to lessen their ability to drop that completion percentage number. There is, and the reason why I bring this up is that if you want to confuse a young quarterback, if you want to make him uncomfortable, the Falcons have weapons to do it. Caden Ellis, for a middle linebacker who has a lot of responsibilities, very good at coming forward. Richie Grant, as we saw in some of these three safety packages, becomes an extra linebacker, almost like a Sam linebacker, and starts and is good going forward. And I think that because Ryan Nielsen has these elements within his defense to try to make C.J. Stroud uncomfortable, I think that that bodes well. I have a lot of confidence in what Ryan Nielsen can do as a coordinator, and I believe that the talent is there to make him uncomfortable. Can they do it? We're going to find out. And this game, which, again, if you go back to May, probably write a big fat W next to it. And now you might write a question mark, because Houston looks pretty good And I do think that the Falcons are hungry. I think they are the more talented team. I think they have really good schematics, and they're back at home. And I think that this is one where we're going to need to see them execute better earlier and flip some of these numbers that you and I have been talking about.
Scott Baer, he is the AtlantaFalcons.com digital managing editor. You can follow him on his personal Twitter page, at Scott Baer NFL, and he joined me here on the WaitForIt.com hotline. Scott, buddy, appreciate the time on the show. Thank you so much, and we will certainly chat again soon.
100%, man. Love the conversation. Appreciate you.
Thank you, Scott. Appreciate it. When we come back, I'll react to what happened on Sunday and thoughts moving forward, thoughts all around the bend, and we'll get to it from there. Chuck Green, the Kia Studios, Sports Betting After the Game, Odyssey.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.